This is Twit.
So the main event. We'll talk with you, Sam, a little bit about Android Auto and Android Automotive, which I imagine are commonly compared and misunderstood between the two. I know
including
that
by
I
us.
Have. Yeah, including by us. So why don't we start with kind of the basics here? Because that was kind of the crux of the email that we got from you initially. Compare, in, like, from your perspective, and you've had, I mean, we've all had experience with Android Auto. You've had experience with Android Automotive and really understanding, like, what it actually means when a car has Android Automotive integrated throughout. So compare a little bit what you understand from your experience of Android Auto to Android Automotive.
Yeah, so let's start with Android Auto. First thing to know about Android Auto is it's not an operating system. You know, back, I don't know what, 5, 6, 7 years ago when they first started talking about Android Auto and Apple CarPlay, people thought about, oh, yeah, I can run iOS or I can run Android in my car. And that's not exactly what's happening. You know, every car's got different user interfaces, different hardware interfaces. Some have touchscreens. Some have central control knobs like BMW iDrive. You know, some have gesture controls. There's all kinds of stuff out there. And what both Android Auto and CarPlay do is they act like driver layers to translate the controls that you are doing in the car, whatever physical controls are in the car, to a common signal that the phone can understand. And then the phone projects the information from whatever app you're running onto the vehicle's screen in a common interface. You know, so they've got a common set of templates. There's one template for media apps. There's another one for maps and so on. And so it's just acting as an interface layer between your phone and the car. And the stuff is all the apps and everything are actually running on your phone. Android Automotive, and you know, to what we were talking about earlier with branding with nothing, Android Auto and Android Automotive, Google's really needs to do something about their branding with those two because it's ridiculously confusing. Android Automotive is actually a full operating system. So that's the operating system that powers your infotainment system in the car. And actually, this is not the first time that car companies have used Android for infotainment systems. My wife's 2017 Honda Civic, the infotainment system in that is actually running on Android 4.2. It's running AOSP with a different skin on it. And a number of manufacturers, including Honda, have used various versions of the AOSP code. But that was never designed specifically for automotive applications, and it's kind of limited in the car. What Google did with Android Automotive was they took Android and they customized it for automotive applications. So it can be that full operating system so that you can actually run all the Android apps just like, you know, you can run Android apps on a Chromecast, on the new Chromecast, or on an Android TV device. Now you can do it in your car if you have Android Automotive and also if you have Google Automotive Services. So this is where that you have the analog to the phones, to the mobile devices. On phones, phone makers can use Android, the open source Android operating system, but if they want the Google apps, they have to license Google mobile services. That gets you the Play Store and Play Services and access to all the apps in the Play Store. And also the Google closed source apps like Gmail and Calendar and Keep and so on. For automotive, there's a similar suite called Google Automotive Services that automakers can either choose to license or not. And most are incorporating Google Automotive Services with their Android Automotive applications, but not everybody. So the first company to come out with a Google Automotive system was Volvo and its Polestar division for the Polestar 2 electric car that came out last year, and also their Volvo XC40 electric version. They have a new infotainment system that's running Android Automotive, and it has a custom Volvo skin on it, just like Samsung would do their own skin on their own launcher on their phones. So they've got that, and they're running Google Automotive Services. So you get the Google Assistant, you get Google Calendar and apps and all the other app, all the other Google apps that you can run directly in the car and the Play Store. Fiat Chrysler recently launched their Uconnect 5 system on the new Chrysler Pacifica minivan, and they have Android Automotive, but they're not using the Google Automotive services. They instead chose to use the Amazon voice services. I'm not going to say Madam A's name, but they've got that as their voice assistant, along with TomTom for apps and a couple of other things, some other stuff that they've got in there. And they've got their own marketplace for apps that where you can download apps specific. You know, they're Android apps, but you're downloading them from a Chrysler app store instead of from the Google Play Store. So that's kind of the high level view of the two.
I love it. You're the perfect person to talk about all this stuff and really kind of pick this apart. So in your experience, when you are in a vehicle that has a layer of Android Automotive running inside of it, is there any indication that you can perceive that this is like an Android layer, or is that skinning just totally removing any of that Android personality, replacing it with the personality that the vehicle maker chooses, and you wouldn't know the difference?
It's more the latter. You know, I mean, it doesn't look like a Google Pixel launcher or anything like that. Right. You know, it's a custom interface. You know, it has, you know, you go from one to another, they have similar functionality. You'll have a button for Google, you know, for Maps. You'll have one for, you know, for the whatever voice assistant they choose to implement, things like that. And for, you know, for the whatever store they use. So if they're, you know, in the case of Volvo and in a couple of years, Ford's going to have their own, and GM's launching one later this year. You know, there's a link directly to the Google Play Store. With the Chrysler system, it goes to Chrysler's app store. So Chrysler kind of went the direction that Amazon did with their Fire OS on their tablets, where they've got their own skin. But, you know, everybody's doing their own custom skin on it. There is no, as far as I can tell, there is no stock skin for Android Automotive. I'm sure there probably is a stock launcher somewhere, but no automaker's actually using that.
So if I'm in the market for a car, which is such a loaded question, a loaded thing to say, but let's assume that I can generally afford, you know, we're not talking anything north of 50 grand, but like somewhere between 20 and 50 grand, right? That range of cars. And I'm an Android super fan. And, you know, am I looking more towards a Chrysler or something like that that's running Android Automotive, or would you recommend I look at a car that has support for Android Auto? Like, which gives the more Android pure experience for me?
Well, pretty much almost everything now. There's only a couple of brands that are not supporting Android Auto at this point. Porsche is one of them, and actually they are bringing Android Auto to their vehicles. But almost everybody's supporting both Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. And even if you have Android Automotive, all the Android Automotive systems are also supporting CarPlay. So you can, if you want to plug in your phone or use it wirelessly, actually, they support wireless CarPlay and wireless Android Auto. You can do that. And, you know, if you really like the Android Auto interface and you want to run the apps from your phone instead of running them directly in the head unit, you can do that. I think the big advantage to Android Automotive, especially for the brands that choose to use the Google Automotive services, is you'll have access to the Play Store and Google Assistant in there. You know, in terms of the look and feel, there's nothing really that's distinctively Android about it. But you will be able to run those apps directly on there. So you don't even have to connect your phone. You can download the apps directly, you know, cause all these vehicles have their own cellular modems built in, their own LTE modems, and you just download the apps directly and run it on that screen. And you don't even have to use your phone at all. You can leave your phone in your pocket or purse or wherever and never touch it. And it's not using that connection at all.
For the
Android
manufacturers.
Auto is too reliant on the Flo. Phone. I was just going to say Android Auto is just sounds like the biggest difference is it's very reliant on the phone.
Yeah, it's totally reliant on the phone. Android Auto and CarPlay won't do anything unless your phone is connected to the car. Mm-hmm. All the apps are running directly on your – they're running on your phone and just projecting the output to the screen of your car. So without a phone, they won't do anything. I mean, they'll run the stock infotainment system, but it won't run any of your media apps. On Android Automotive, you know, you can download YouTube Music or Spotify or Amazon Music or whatever your preference is, and run them directly in the car without using the phone.
So when a manufacturer explicitly, like Ford just announced not very long ago, when they explicitly say and announce all of our vehicles are going to be running on Android Automotive, you know, in a couple of years, taking Ford as the example, what are they choosing it for exactly? Like, why are they choosing Android Automotive over another solution? Is it ease of implementation of creating that layer? Is it that, hey, we've been doing this on our own and it turns out this is actually better? What kinds of benefits are they actually getting out of choosing Android Automotive over the others?
So in the case of Ford and actually a lot of other automakers, today most of these infotainment systems are actually running either Linux or QNX underneath as the base operating system. And is that Leo's car?
Yeah, I was just going to say he picked it up this afternoon after security.
Oh, did he?
Now he says he got it because of you, by the way.
Okay.
He said you made him get it.
So right now, that's got QNX as the base operating system. And then there's Ford's interface layer there that's called Sync. So, you know, Ford calls their brands theirs a Sync, Sync 4 in the Mach-E. And, just like you don't see the QNX, you never see the QNX layer. It's just there underneath, the underlying, the interfaces to the hardware. The advantage when they switch over from QNX to Android Automotive is they will have access to those Google Automotive services. So the Play Store, Google Maps, and they'll also, they'll get support from Google for helping to develop this stuff. So there will still be a Ford interface, a Ford Sync interface, which my guess is it probably won't actually look a whole lot different from what's in there today. But it will be able to run. You'll have the option to run these Android apps. To open up the Play Store, download Android apps, and run those. So that's something you can't do today. If Ford wants to have app support today on their systems, they have to convince developers to build apps specifically to run on QNX on their system. And you've talked many times over the years of how hard it is to get apps to get developers to come to a new platform. Because every automaker's got different platforms today, if they're all running Android Automotive, then they'll all have access to the full library of Android apps. If someday Apple wants to do, an OS, to run in cars and license that to automakers, then, they could potentially run iOS apps directly on their systems, something they can't do today.
I thought this was all supposed to be taken care of with the introduction of like Android Auto and CarPlay. Like I've been hearing about QNX for a long time and I thought that all of this is supposed to unify all of us.
Well, it does to a degree. With Android Auto, you have it provides an interface, so that you can use the apps on your phone. But it's Android Auto has always been fairly limited in what apps what kinds of apps you have access to. You have maps, and today you only have Google Maps and Waze availability on there. I think there's some others that may be coming soon. And then you have your media apps and your messaging apps. And that's basically all you can run in Android Auto. That's all that Google's ever allowed. Right. With Android Automotive, they're going to open that up a little bit. So there's going to be a little more flexibility in the kinds of apps that can run. You know, one of the things that, that they might be able to do, and I think, part of this is going to depend on the automakers, is, allow for games to run on there. You know, like today, if you have a Tesla, Tesla, has a bunch of games, you got Asteroids and some other stuff that you can run on your Tesla screen.
Heavy stuff.
In the future, you might be able to download, Real Racing 3 onto your car and, pretend you're racing while you're sitting in your car parked, while your car is parked, or, play Fortnite or something else, just download the Android app and run that on your screen in the car.
I think the most important follow-up on that is will manufacturers be able to copy Tesla and allow for the sound of farts to go off every time you put on your blinker?
No. Oh, no, please.
I think that is explicitly prohibited by National Highway Traffic Safety Administration regulations.
Good to know.
If it's not, it should be. That should be the first thing that Pete Buttigieg does is institute a new federal motor vehicle safety standard that bans fart apps in cars.
Good to know.
Sam, this is all like really great. I guess just kind of like round off our conversation. We kind of touched upon it a little earlier, but if you had any advice for any of our listeners or viewers about if they're going out to look for a car, whether new or used, and they were interested in, and this was a criteria for them that really mattered, what would you suggest to them? What would you leave them with?
I would say, as a bare minimum, for if you're going out shopping for a car today, make sure that, especially if it's a used car, if it's relatively new, in the last 3 or 4 years, you'll almost certainly have both Android Auto and CarPlay support in there. Just make sure that that's in there. Ideally, if you're getting a new car, a lot of the 2020, 2021, 2022 models that are coming soon have wireless Android Auto support. That's another step forward, because now you don't have to futz around with the USB cable. And, most of those vehicles also have a wireless charging pad. So if you've got a phone with wireless charging, take advantage of that if it's available. As you're shopping for new cars, right now it's still relatively limited, the number of vehicles that have Android Automotive support. Going forward over the next couple of years, we're going to see a lot more vehicles that have that capability. And, I think the main thing is whatever you're looking at, make sure you take it for a test drive, connect your phone to it, pair it up, see how challenging it is to pair with Bluetooth, take a USB cable with you.
Yep.
Car shopping, and, plug in your phone and make sure it works, and play around with the infotainment system, as well, while you're driving the car. Make sure that the interface is something that works smoothly and that feels intuitive. If you're getting lost in it or you can't find basic functions like, how to enter, a destination for navigation or things like that, then might want to avoid that vehicle unless there's something else really compelling about it that you really want. Because the infotainment system is, one of the things that you use the most often, in addition to driving. Yeah. And you want to make sure you have something that you're comfortable with, and, make sure that the screen is visible. If you, like me, I wear polarized sunglasses when it's sunny out, and there are some particular vehicles, some particular brands, where the screens just totally fade out or look all distorted through polarized sunglasses. So, check out those sorts of things. Put on your sunglasses. Make sure you can see it. And I guess one other thing that I didn't really mention that I didn't get into very much is the voice assistant stuff. With when you do get Android Automotive, as long as it's got support, as long as it's using the Google Automotive services, you will have Google Assistant in there, which will have the capability to do a lot of stuff, to control a lot of stuff in your car. That's one of the other advantages of using Android Automotive is they can interface Google Assistant with that to control functions, putting in navigation. And if you've used Assistant with Android Auto, you know how much better it is than any of the traditional voice recognition systems that are built into the cars. Those are always a pain because, they have the embedded systems in the cars typically have very limited vocabularies, and you got to remember very specific commands, like how do you find a point of interest or, put in an address. And, with Assistant, it's much closer to natural language input. So that helps a lot when you're trying to find someplace while you're driving.
Fascinating stuff. I'm so happy you could come on and break this down for us, Sam. And everybody in chat is lighting up about it as well. So that is amazing and explains a lot. And Google, man, their naming conventions are so confusing. Even if they just fixed that, address that in a different way, these things wouldn't be nearly as confusing. It's so easy. I can completely understand why so many people misunderstand the differences between Android Auto and Android Automotive. It's just kind of ridiculous. So.
It's the branding thing gets me. I mean, it's Android Automotive, Android Auto to the average person is the same thing, even though they're not.
Absolutely agree.
Yeah, they're so close in name, but so totally different in
totally
what
different.
They're capable of.
indeed. I hope Leo's enjoying his Mach-E. I have to imagine that he probably is. At this point,
he is.
Screaming out the window, thank you, Sam, as he's driving down the road.
That's pretty cool.
I had one for a week last week, and it was a lot of fun to drive.
Yeah, it looks nice. One of these days, maybe he'll take us for a ride when we don't have to dress up in a hazmat suit in order to do it.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.